Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the AAK Press and Analyst Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today on Thursday, the 29th of October, 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Arne Frank. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, please be very, very welcome to AAK's Q3 interim report conf call. Very welcome, all of you. I'm sitting here in Malmö, normally sunny. Today, a little bit, some small signs of the fall, the autumn season coming up. But the spirit is good, and I have on my side here Fredrik Nilsson, our CFO. And we're here to guide you through our Q3 results. We follow a normal format for this, and then there is probably ample time by the end for some Q&A if you so wish. I'm jumping to page 3, and we are happy, we are proud, but not satisfied. I want to underline, if any shareholder would be worried over our statement being happy and proud, we want to produce more and generate more. But we are on a good track. Our strategy is working. Our action program is working. The key activities are leading us in the right direction. We can, on page 3, see a 2% volume growth, a 2% organic volume growth. And if we, for a moment, assume that the global processed packed food sector is where most of our products would go into, not all, would show a 2-3% global growth. And then we include that, as a matter of fact, we do not yet have a factory in China. We do not yet have a factory in Brazil. We just recently have a factory in India. Then I would be bold enough to claim that 2% volume growth means winning market share a little bit. Sales up 7%. The main contributor to this is currency effects, but also the volume development. And in the other direction is a strong effect of the lower raw material prices. So plus 7% in sales is the net-net between a strong FX, a quite positive, a strong raw material negative, which as a matter of fact, of course, is a positive, and the reasonable volume growth. EBIT is up 14% to 376, and to guide you, roughly half of this is currency effect. EBIT per kilo up 11%, earnings per share up 12%, and the net debt strongly in the right directions. So, ladies and gentlemen, happy, proud, but not satisfied. Some more details on the numbers and so forth from Fredrik here, and then I will be back with the operational business aspects to this. So, Fredrik, please.
Thank you, Arne. The third quarter was very similar to the second quarter, with a record high operating profit combined with good organic growth. As Arne said, operating profit reached 376 million compared to 331 last year. And as we stated, last year included some non-recurring items. It was a net positive item from the acquisition in Belgium, and then there was some acquisition costs. So all in all, non-recurring items of 13 million. Currency translation, plus 27 million in the quarter, lower than we saw in Q2 where we had 39 million, and we expect that the currency impact will be even less in Q4 versus Q3. So operating profit at fixed FX and also adjusted for last year's divestment of Bay Binol improved by 7%. Operating profit per kilo improved by 11% from 0.75 to 0.83. And I will say this is mainly due to the continued very positive development in chocolate and confectionery fats. Looking at the business area, Food Ingredients reported an improvement of 9% and reached a result of 230 million. There was a strong organic growth in Food Ingredients, plus 4%, but I will say the mix was a little bit different between the segments. Bakery continued to grow nicely, and the positive trend from the second quarter in Mexico continued also in the third quarter. Dairy was really positive, I will say, if you take into consideration the low milk fat prices. Even though we had the low milk fat prices, we saw organic volume growth in the quarter. Looking at our infant nutrition business, infant continued to grow in the quarter, but it's still negative year to date. And our Arcanina business reported a stable volume growth. If we then continue and look at chocolate confectionery fats, they have a very strong quarter. The operating profit reached 166 million. It was an improvement by 33% versus last year. Continued good improvement for our CB business, but there was also good improvement in our high-end semi-specialties. Technical products and feed had a lower result this quarter by 9 million versus last year, and that's mainly due to a planned but more extensive maintenance stop than normal. If we then turn to page 5 and looking at the trends, you can see that the nice volume trend continues with good organic growth in both Food Ingredients and CCF. CCF had an organic volume growth of 4% in the quarter, and if we exclude CIS, we had a high single-digit growth for chocolate and confectionery fats in the quarter. Looking at the operating profit, as we said, the strong trend continued with an improvement of 14% in the quarter, and it's our best quarter ever, even if we adjust for FX. Operating profit per kilo continued to improve, and for the first time, CCF was above 2 SEK per kilo. If we then continue on page 6 and look at the cash flow, we have a strong EBITDA improvement. We improved that with 37 million versus Q3 last year. Paid interest, more or less the same as last year. Paid tax, 60 million lower than Q3 last year. I will say this is more a timing. The tax rate will be more or less the same for 15 versus 14 if we look for the full year. Non-cash items, minus 28. It's mainly changes in pension liabilities and provisions. Change in working capital, minus 81, so half of the positive cash flow from working capital was reversed in the third quarter. It's mainly that the inventory is increasing. We are going into the high season, but we are also seeing volume growth, which implies that our accounts receivables is increasing. So cash flow from operating activities, including changes in working capital, amounted to 258 million. Versus negative 52 last year. You can also see that cash flow from investments is increasing, and we are reporting investments for 234 million in the quarter. And you should also expect that the CapEx level will be higher in Q4. We have earlier guided that we will have a CapEx of around 1 billion SEK for 2015. I think it will be more between 800 and 900 million SEK for the full year. If we then turn to page seven and look at the working capital days, you can see that we start to have an improvement. Compared to year-end, we have improved by 2 days, and the value of each day in improvement is around 50 million SEK. So all in all, the better turnover in inventory implies around 100 million less in working capital. If we then look at page eight and the raw material prices, you can see that the palm oil prices has gone down in the quarter, then turned up slightly, so we are around $600. That change in price will, of course, have a positive impact on our cash flow with a delay of 6 to 9 months. So the question is, how much will come in late Q4, and how much will come in early Q1 16? And I think it's good to be a little bit prudent when you look at Q4, and I expect that there will be a little more coming in Q1 16. And that will, of course, the part of the positive impact will be offset when we're starting to build working capital for the startup of the greenfield in Brazil. If we then turn to page nine and look at return on capital employed, we were at year-end down to 14.5. We are now up to 15.7, despite that we are investing a lot, as you can see. So the main reason for the good improvement in return on capital employed since year-end is our strong profit development. We have managed to reduce our working capital, and then also good management of our CapEx projects. So by that, I will now hand over the microphone to Arne.
Thank you, Fredrik. Moving on here, page 10, business trends, the operational business trend overview. Personally, I think this is one of the more important pages here. Same format as we've been using now since quite some time, where we divide in some main regions. Nordics is, of course, in a global perspective, not a main region, but it is the legacy of our business and where we are also strong in more things than just semi-speciality and speciality. And here we can see the teams are doing a really good job. We believe this market is not growing very much, if any, but we believe we are gaining market share here, both in food ingredients and chocolate confectionery, FI and CCF. We have had a little bit of a tough quarter in technical products and feed, as Fredrik indicated, but more or less the TEFAC business is more or less, the technical fatty acid business is more or less flat. The feed business, despite low milk prices, which is an issue for the end customer, the farmers here, for the feed business, but more or less flat. But as Fredrik said, we had a longer maintenance stop than normal, which we tend to have every 3 years or so. And some of you remember we had this a few years ago also, and that gives a hit to the TPF business. We expect the TPF business to be back to normal in Q4. Western Europe, FI flat. We are keeping our positions, maybe growing a little tiny bit. CCF in Western Europe doing really well. UK, surprisingly not part of Western Europe in this map. We are, despite a very tough competitive pressure, maintaining our positions, and the business is basically flat. US teams doing a fantastic job, and we are definitely growing nicely in FI, and we are doing relatively well in CCF as well. So for the total picture for US, and that's an important part of AAK, a clear green arrow. Then we come to CEE, Central and Eastern Europe, and CIS, which in the AAK map is the old Soviet Union. And here we see strong negative headwind again from the civil war in Ukraine and the financial situation in Russia. And that has a spillover effect to the neighboring countries in Central Europe who normally have a material export activity to Russia primarily. So this is a tough part for us, but the numbers you see are despite this headwind. Asia from a low volume, stable FI business and good momentum in the CCF business. And Latin America, same pattern, but here from a higher base, stable FI business and good momentum in the CCF business. We can also say here that, because I don't think we have more material on that, our projects, as we say in China and Brazil, are on time schedule and budget. And I also want to say that Brazil, we can follow in media and so forth, the economical evolution being a challenge. But we believe we are gaining market share, and the business is so far performing well. China, the CapEx-driven B2B economy is maybe not as good as it has been, but so far for us and for our customers, the picture is still that this is an exciting market to be in. Moving on to page 11, FI, I believe Fredrik gave you a nice overview here. 4% organic volume growth, 9% profit growth, out of, however, most of it being FX-driven. And profit per kilo up a little bit. Some of you were here in the conf call 3 months ago. To you, I want to say that Fredrik Nilsson gained a nice bottle of something I cannot say in a conf call like this, because he was right on the EBIT per kilo prediction on CCF, and I was wrong on the EBIT per kilo projection on FI. I still, though, believe that FI will continue to improve. We had a good quarter in bakery. We had, despite record low milk prices, a quite good quarter in dairy fat alternatives. Infant nutrition coming back. Both our infant advanced lipids business and the joint venture we have with Enzymotech, and our own Aconino blend range, with some more comments here in the PowerPoints. Food service, some ups and some downs, stable all in all. And then a comment on commodity products, but again, it's from a small base. And when we meet just a few weeks from now, you will again have the detailed numbers, how much is commodity here, but it's limited, but very strong growth on that, and a big slice of FX. So some ups and some downs, net slightly up, but here is more to be done. And EBIT per kilo up a bit, but not as much as I was dreaming about. Moving on, page 12. You see here the split between semi-speciality and speciality versus commodity. And year-to-date, a solid 3%. In the quarter, 2% on the important speciality and semi-speciality. Page 13, operating profit and profit per kilo in a more historical perspective. And again, we are optimistic for this business area going forward. A slightly higher milk price would be good for us and many others in this perspective, though. Then a fantastic page 14, CCF, fantastic. and Fredrik was right on the EBIT per kilo here. I want to say though, please, and those of you who are the more optimistic ones, please do not get carried away by some sort of euphoria. This is a good performance. We will continue to improve here, but we will not continue to improve with these kind of trend lines. Absolutely not. Organic volume growth 4%. We can disclose that if we exclude the old CIS with Russia and Ukraine, we are in very high single-digit growth for this business area, and I think that's a remarkable performance given any relevant packed food benchmark. Operating profit up 33%, and here we must also point out that it's just a small part of that improvement that is currency driven, and strong improvement on EBIT per kilo. We can also say here there is a strong mix change because we continue to suffer enormous competitive pressure on, shall we call it, the low-end semi-speciality products. They more and more, some of them look like commodity products. But this is not new for this quarter. It has been like that since a number of quarters, if not longer. So good evolution of the mix. A continued high cocoa butter price helps, of course. A continued strong performance from our customer co-development organization is important. Our customers see that we have other benefits here than cost in terms of functionality, may it be the product characteristics or the production characteristics. And then again, a slice of positive FX. Page 15, profit evolution and profit per kilo evolution in a historical perspective. And again, please, let's not get carried away by some kind of euphoria here. We will continue to improve, but not in this with this pace. Page 16, raw material price. And just like the other raw material picture Fredrik commented upon, we have colleagues in our industry who would charge £1,000 sterling per hour to talk about this kind of matters. All I know that those people, and very often in front of very large crowds, they are equally often right as they are equally often wrong. So we are not coming with any predictions here, more than that we can happily conclude that the raw material prices seem to go our way, both on the input side and on the competitive side, and the only thing we would wish for is a higher milk and milk fat price. But driving our speciality and semi-speciality strategy, this becomes a little bit less essential to us, but it will still be essential what are the comparative prices for our raw material in and the products we are competing with. Page 17, one of you have already pointed out that we have a hidden 10 in our pocket for Q4 and going forward, and we are normally not giving any future projections, but on that comment on a hidden 10 in the pocket for the future, we can understand where that comment comes from. This kind of maintenance stop is not to be repeated, and normally this business should be back to normal. And I think we had a similar maintenance stop in Q3 2011. We need to verify that, but that's the character of this business. Our action program is working. The strategy is working. The organization is mobilized. What you don't measure, you don't get. So we have full focus here on particularly on that we really execute on the various initiatives, and we can report back that we are on track for all of this. As time permits, a small recap on the main events besides the numbers during the quarter. Three things we want to come back to that we believe is important. First, very, very, very strategic, the launch of our Tropical product, a milestone in our industry, we believe. This is called internally, previously, heat-stable chocolate. Gives an indication what it is about. So this product is predominantly focused warm climate, hot climate countries, predominantly Latin America, China, Southeast Asia, and Middle East. Here, our customers are very often facing significant challenges, as the product would change, sometimes quite dramatically, when it goes through a not perfect distribution chain. And in many of these countries, we all know that distribution chains could be far from perfect. What then happens is that the product could be subject to what the industry call heat-related bloom, which would give the chocolate what maybe some of you have experienced opening a chocolate bar or something like this, a grayish surface. And in bad situations, the taste, texture experience would also be a little bit sandy. And this is in the industry called bloom. And here we have a product where our tagline is beat the bloom, keep the sensory. And there are ways to do this. In our humble opinion, those ways to do that is only good for the local dentists. A chocolate bar is, a chocolate product is supposed to melt in your mouth at 37.1 degrees Celsius. If it doesn't do that, it is not real chocolate. So we have an exciting product here, maintaining a non-bloom appearance and keeping the sensory, even when going through quite unperfect distribution chains. And we are very happy to have a chance to demonstrate this, to present this in depth and demonstrate it for you at our Capital Market Day in a few weeks. So we really encourage you to have a look at this. At the same time, we must bear in mind that our sales cycles are very long. We have talked about this before, speaking about customer co-development and product development, and we will come back to that. But please take into account that we operate with very lengthy sales cycles. Second, very strategic and very important milestone in the AAK evolution is that we are now in India. You know, an important part of our strategy is to follow our global customers with a similar offering across the globe. And then, of course, India is an important market. Several of you have asked us about India in different meetings and also this quarterly conf call. It has been a priority for us. We've been working on it since a few years. But as we always say, our shareholders' money and the company's money is not burning in our pockets. We are not moving until we know we have a good project on the table. We've met with Kamani Oil, one of the market leaders in semi-speciality and speciality oils and fats in India. We saw a very strong and professional management. We saw a very good team. We saw a culture around customer co-development and customer benefits and speciality and semi-speciality quite similar to our own. So this marriage where we now have 51% of Kamani, and we will operate under the name of AAK Kamani, is to us a very, very important step in our evolution. The strategic rationale, page 21, quite obvious, I believe. India is a very important market and developing nicely. Page 22. Page 22, Japan. As you can imagine, it's very important for us to be in Japan, and that's the third main achievement in the quarter for us, where we have now established a company for the Japanese market together with the very professional company Miyoshi Oils and Fats. And this company will operate under the name AAK Miyoshi Japan, focusing predominantly CCF and bakery. We will have 70% of this company and Miyoshi will have 30% of it. And here we will focus sales and customer co-development for chocolate confectionery, bakery, also to some degree dairy and maybe infant nutrition. Here we are operational from January 2016. Please note this will be a small operation to start with. We are starting from scratch, but a very, very strategic initiative. So, ladies and gentlemen, I now pass back the microphone to Fredrik.
Thank you, Arne. I would just like to highlight our Capital Market Day. It will take place in November 18, and there will be presentations from management in China, Brazil, and there will also be a deep dive in Tropicao. So you're all very welcome to Fotografiska in Stockholm, November 18. We will start with presentations from 1 p.m. and end at 5 p.m. So it's possible to travel from the whole Europe back and forth the same day. And you can also see the link how you can sign up for the Capital Market Day. And to conclude this call, before we go into the Q&A session, we continue to remain prudently optimistic about the future, and we are expecting the underlying improvement of ingredients to continue, and also that we expect that the chocolate and confectionery fats continue to improve. And by that, we are ready for Q&A.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, you will need to press the hash key. And once again, it's star and one if you wish to ask a question. And we have received the first question, which is coming from Casper Blom. Casper, your line is open.
Thank you very much, and first of all, congrats with yet another set of strong results here. I have three questions, please, and let's just try and take them one by one. If we start off with a very recent event, we've seen here today that China is now putting an end to its one-child policy. Obviously, that can create speculation of AAK selling more infant nutrition in Asia. Can you give sort of your first thoughts on what possibilities this decision can bring to AAK and your positioning to sell more infant nutrition products in China? Thank you.
Thank you, Casper. I think sometimes we are maybe not as humble as we should be, but your question is very big. We saw this dramatic news just yesterday, I believe. I think it would be go too far to have speculations what this could mean. We need to understand first what is decided, what will be decided, and once we have some perspective on that, we can start speculate. But no matter what, the infant nutrition market in China is very, very exciting.
okay, that was wasn't much we could get out of you there. But then let's move up on to another big thing. We've seen that some of the big chocolate producers, Nestle, Mars, Hershey, are being mentioned in connection with the possible use of child labor, and that could lead to court trials in the U.S. Something like this, is this something that you regard as an opportunity for AAK, or is it more seen as a risk for the whole chocolate category? Thanks.
First bullet point, I am unaware of any connection of child labor with the companies you mentioned. So I want to say that. Then second bullet point, yes, speaking cocoa in general, this discussion comes up. We have a very, very strong CSR policy that we are totally opposed, is of course. We follow up our own shea trade very, very strongly. We have now 60,000 women plus engaged, as you can see in our CSR report. We do not have child labor, but we are in a part of the world where demographic evolution, a number of children per woman, is very, very high. We are in a part of the world where there most of the time is no organized child care, sometimes not even organized schooling. So just like our parents or grandparents, who in many cases also lived in the countryside, children would be with their parents out on the fields from a certain age, being around their parents. That is not child labor, but we have a strong policy, but I can tell you we are talking about something that if someone wants to go out and take a photo, it is not difficult to take a photo where it looks like child labor is going on. As a matter of fact, it isn't. More than that, I don't believe this is neither an upside or a downside to AAK specifically. It's an important subject where we all need to show zero tolerance with any deviation on such behavior.
Okay, then let's move a little bit closer to your own business. Arne, you mentioned that you don't want us to get carried away with regards to the development in the CCF business.
Exactly.
Is there anything in the strong numbers today that are unusual, or anything suggesting that when we look at Q3 next year, you wouldn't be able to deliver an EBIT per kilo of at least 2.02?
You're absolutely correct. We don't want you to get carried away. We are an exciting and interesting business and company anyhow. We want to have a stable, continuous, long-term positive development. We are investing a lot, both in organization and in CapEx and in factories and M&A and so forth, to build a strong company also for the mid and the long term. We will continuously improve, but we will not improve with this dramatic improvement pace. From that, you need to try to interview Frederick, and maybe he can give you guidance. But there is not any extraordinarily positive going on right now. We have a higher than normal cocoa butter price, I believe. Exactly what this will mean, it's hard to say.
But just to be clear, all other things equal, this is a sustainable level. Is that correct?
I take easy questions, and Frederick always takes the difficult ones. So, Frederick, bail me out here.
No, I think it's a little bit too early to talk about 2016. We are in the middle of the negotiation with the contracts also for 2016. But as Arne commented upon, there is, of course, always some positive items in the quarter, but there is also some, and you make a wash of both of them. I will say there is a net zero impact from both of them.
All righty. I'll let you get off there then. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Casper. Anyone else?
And the next question is coming from Patrick Zetterberg. Patrick, your line is open.
Hello, gentlemen. I have questions regarding the food ingredients division, or specifically about this CSM Benelux acquisition you made last year. I just wonder, could you give us an update where how the turnaround is progressing with this company? I suppose the guidance you gave was that that this acquisition should start to contribute to EBIT in the second half of 2015. Is that the case, and what should we think about this company when looking into the fourth quarter and as well a little bit further ahead?
Hello, Patrick. Thank you for your question. Let's put it like this. Our bakery segment is developing relatively nicely. You will have detailed numbers 3 weeks from now, when I hope we meet. I think we are more or less following our indications on the CSM business case. Please bear in mind, it is roughly 100,000 metric tons, so it means it's roughly 5% of AAK. It was a good acquisition, and it's developing according to plans.
Okay. And then my second question is relating to the Indian acquisition you make. Could you give us a little bit more details about how you see the earnings profile for this company over the coming years?
Thanks for the question, Patrick. As we have said, for this year, we don't expect any profit at all. We said that it's a low EBIT when we made acquisition of the 51%. And then we said that it will take some years to get it up to AAK average, but it will improve step by step, year over year.
Okay, thank you. And then my last question, I just wanted to have a clarification. You say that there has been stable growth for Aconino in the quarter. Well, what do you mean by stable? Is it less than 5% or is it higher than that? It is usually a segment which has been growing very nicely, especially for the last two quarters.
I think it's a single-digit growth, and then, of course, it varies a little bit between the quarter, and that has also been the case in the past, but it's a single-digit growth.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you. And for all the others, if you wish to ask a question, just press star and one, please. And we have just received one more question, which is coming from Heidi Westerninen. Your line is open.
Hi, I just have one clarification question on dairy, which did very well in Q3. Now, I know that in Q2 you were down, but you also had extremely tough comps. If I look back to Q2 14, you had grown double digit, it says in your report. So when we think sequentially what happened, was there an improvement in Q3 versus Q2?
Hi, Heidi. Yes, there was. Let me comment on dairy fat alternatives, because that's my personal favorite business segment. And I am wholeheartedly convinced that when we meet 10 years from now, maybe already when we meet 5 years from now, the part of AAK that has changed the most, a lot would have changed, of course, but the part that has probably proportionally changed the most is dairy fat alternatives. That is the perfect storm between our health claims, no trans, low SAT, and our cost claims. And as many of you know, we have today the capabilities to produce products where that would score very, very highly in a blind test. May it be analog processed cheese, may it be other cheese, may it be whipped cream and toppings, may it be the ice creams, and. And to see it perform this relatively okay despite a very low milk fat and butter price is really exciting. And we have great hopes for this business in the mid and the long run.
And if I could ask one more question, maybe for Fredrik. So you said that the CapEx would be lower than expected this year. So you had given guidance for 2016. Do we just add the difference into 2016, or is it overall going to be lower?
No, there will be more carryover into 2016, and I will give you an update at the Capital Market Day in 3 weeks. But that's an answer on your question. Yes, there will be more carryover into 2016.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and we have a few more questions, and the next one is coming from Casper Blom. Casper, your line is open again, please.
Yeah, thanks. I'll just take the opportunity to ask a fourth question here. Fredrik, with regards to currencies, you mentioned that the impact will be less in Q4 than seen here in Q3. But is that to be interpreted as if you are still expecting a positive impact from FX in the fourth quarter? Thank you.
Yes, I expect still a positive impact, but significantly lower than the 27.
Very clear. Thanks.
Thank you. And one more question is coming from James Target. James, your line is open.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone. Quick question just on the commodity volumes in FI. I think as we go into the fourth quarter, we've now fully anniversaried the contract wins last year. I'm just checking I'm correct there. And I just wanted to check if there had been additional commodity contracts won during this year to drive the high volume growth in commodities, or whether, as I said, we should expect a return to sort of more normal commodity volume growth in the fourth quarter. Thank you.
Hello, James. Thank you. Yes, I believe you're right on track here. We will show you the numbers at the Capital Market Day, as we always do. B, we expect modest growth in commodity from Q4 and on.
Okay, and I can maybe just ask, of the development in EBIT per kilo in FI, how much of that has been driven by that strong growth in commodity? And I'm just thinking, what the implications are for that, in the fourth quarter and as we go into next year.
What we have said, James, is that around 30% of the volume of food ingredients is commodity volumes, and the average EBIT per kilo in food ingredients is between, I would say, 0.1 and 0.2.
Okay. All right. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, James.
It seems it was the last question for today, so please continue.
Any more questions? No?
No, we don't have any more, sir.
Okay, so thank you very much, everybody. And again, please permit me one more pitch for our Capital Market Day in Stockholm, November 18. An exciting program. China, Brazil, local markets. Fredrik will give you lots of insight on details we normally do not disclose. And we will also have a very exciting in-depth presentation of Tropicow, and we have also scheduled it during the day, this event, so it permits also for you who do not live in Sweden or Scandinavia to go to Stockholm and back to UK or Germany or wherever you are in the same day if needed. So we hope to see as many as possible of you in Stockholm on November 18th. So thank you very much. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the support. And thank you for all the good questions. And hope to see you all soon. Thank you very much.
And this has concluded our call for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.